If anyone's ever drinking out of a fire hose, this is going to be kind of one of those sessions. So giddy up. For those of you who don't know me, as Mike said, my name is Phil Ortiz. I'm a current city councilman for the city of El Cajon. I was appointed in 2018, and then I just won my first election in 2020, so I have a four-year term. prior to that, I was a home group pastor here for the better part of 8 years, mentored under Mark Hoffman, and then apprenticed under Neil's home group, then eventually multiplied with David Matrango. We split off for a while, and then multiplied again with Weston Steckler, who's there back there. And then eventually stopped my role as a home group pastor because I entered into the world of politics. I'm also a small businessman. I sit on the board of directors for the East County Chamber of Commerce, and as well as the board of directors for the Economic Development Council. And prior to my time as a councilman, I was a planning commissioner for the city of El Cajon. So I want to first thank everyone for being here. You being here signifies that you recognize something happening in our country and that it's divisive, and it's something that I've never seen before in my entire life, the level of vitriol that's occurring in our country. And so you being here signifies that you want to engage in some capacity. You want to be doers, as this conference is calling us to do and calling out. And so what I hope to equip you with today, this isn't going to be a legislative update. If you want a legislative update, let's talk to Brian Jones or Randy Vopel, and we'll fall asleep while listening to it. It's going to be all bad news. I'll just tell you that right now. There's nothing great coming out of the state of California. But I hope to equip you with principles that you can enter into the public square with to offer a defense for our way of thinking, for our worldview. Come on in, guys. Grab a chair. For our way of thinking, for our worldview, I want to equip you with the ability to speak to the non-believer, to the unbeliever. How many of you know that when we speak out of our worldview, if we speak from the Bible, the non-believer, our neighbor, they don't really care if we speak to the Bible or not because they don't believe it. I want to be able to bring the non-believer and believer together in the public square and agree on a worldview that we can both agree upon. Thomas Jefferson quoted it perfectly, and he said, "The laws of nature and nature's God." God and the laws of nature. Meaning, there are certain rules on earth that are self-evident, that are just written in the world. Remove all governmental structures and police and courts and laws. There are things that are, there are truths that are self-evident in the world. We call it, it's called natural law. And those are the terms, I'm going to be using that term a lot, natural law, that we can speak to the unbeliever to get them to start thinking about God-given rights. We call them God-given rights. The unbeliever calls it natural law. And there are thinkers far better than I that have been talking about natural law for millennia, hundreds of years. So I'm going to pray, and let's get started. Father, we thank you so much for this weekend. We thank you for the turnout. It's an incredible turnout of men. We thank you for our church, Foothills, and the leadership, Mark and Dave Hoffman, and all the associate pastors and home group pastors that lead us in your word. And we pray that this weekend we would be convicted, that you would strike us to act and be doers and engage. We do not want to continue that original sin of being passive. Adam should have slapped the apple out of Eve's hand, Lord, and we want to engage in the public square. In Jesus' name, help us to do that. Amen. Awesome. So we can go to the next slide. So like I said before, there's no doubt in my mind that the level of vitriol in our country is unprecedented, something that I've never seen. There's terms being thrown around like secession, states removing themselves, or parts of counties moving into other states. We have the eastern side of Washington State wanting to join with Idaho. Five counties said, "We want to join with Idaho because we don't believe in the wokeism coming out of Seattle." New California and California was an option, getting rid of the coastals. Civil War. We literally have groups of people, Proud Boys and Antifa, in the streets lining up and fighting. One of my friends classified it, he has a national podcast, as a national divorce. a national, where two sides or sides have irreconcilable differences. The founder's quote, "United we stand, divided we fall," that is a real thing that we're seeing happening. Our country is being fractured. But the Bible calls us to be peacemakers, right? Blessed are the peacemakers. So how do we become peacemakers? Next slide. How do we become peacemakers when our public discourse has devolved into taglines? You're a racist. You're a bigot. How do you jump into people in the middle of that and offer a defense and create peace amongst these two groups? We're supposed to be different as Christians, right? We're supposed to look different. We're supposed to think differently. And when these arguments come up, it can get into the weeds a lot. And how many of you know when God speaks, he doesn't chatter. He doesn't get into the weed. It's definitive. It's true. It's strong. And so we were made in the Imago Dei. When we enter into the public square, we should reflect that image of God. We should get to the root issue. We shouldn't be, "Oh, masks don't work." Well, yes, they do if there's education. Well, no, they don't because, and mandates don't work, but they did in this country. But no, and vaccines are helpful for these type of people. But no, and we get into the weeds, and there's always a counter and a counter and a counter, and this is what it ends up to every single time. We should be well thought out. We should be well read. We should be thoughtful. We should be seeking peace when we enter into these conversations. And so there's a quote that came to me a couple of years ago from Henry David Thoreau. And it says, There are a thousand hacking at the branches of evil to the one striking at the root. For those of you who don't know Henry David Thoreau, he's an American lifelong abolitionist. He wrote on civil disobedience to unjust governments. He influenced some of the 20th century's most prominent thinkers. Martin Luther King Jr. was one of them. And this is what those people are doing. They're hacking at the branches. "Oh, this and this and that and that, and you suck, and you're an awful person, and you're a racist, and this and this and that." We should always be seeking to find the root cause of things. And Mark spoke about, we're going to be talking about sphere authority. God has ordained authority amongst different governments on this earth. We're going to be going into sphere authority. I'm going to speak in that. And what is each government's jurisdiction? So when we talk about these things, a couple of housekeeping. I'm going to be talking about it at a 30,000-foot view level. Okay, these are ideas and principles that we can start from, where we need to start from. But this is where we need to make our stand. We need to define our terms when we go into the public square. And we need to keep that root. We need to stay in a defensive stance and bring the problem back to the issue. So next slide. So this is what Mark introduced about a month ago during his sermon. He started with, there are different spheres of authority that God has ordained. The self-government, we have authority over our own self. The family, the father has authority over his family. Church has authority, and state. These are four spheres of authority. And Abraham Kuyper, who was a theologian in the late 1800s, he was actually the prime minister of the Netherlands, has a perfect quote that Mark's sermon summed up in. "There is not one square inch in the whole dominion of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, 'Mine.'" Right? Everything under the sun is Christ's. God establishes authority to these different realms of government, right? And we know that when one area of government grows, when one of these grow, the other one must shrink, right? When the state grows, it takes rights away from family. It takes rights away from the individual, from businesses, from the church. It's a zero-sum game. That means if one wins, one of the other ones must lose. And whenever that occurs, there are unintended consequences. There are unintended consequences whenever the government grows. So I want to give some more context to this sphere authority, is what I'm going to call it. And we're going to be exploring, where does each authority's jurisdiction lie? I'm going to be using that term a lot, jurisdiction. Where does their authority extend to? Where are the limits to that authority? So let's talk about the self-government. I don't have authority to tell Mike what hat he has to wear and how much soda he can drink a day. That's a natural law. The unbeliever will agree with that. I don't have any authority to tell Mike what to do. Their natural law states that there's no authority or God has not given me authority to tell Mike how to live his life. Similarly, family government. I don't have the ability to tell Weston's kids, okay, guys, you can only drink, 35 ounces of soda a day and you have to paint your house blue and bedtime is 5 o'clock. God has not given me authority over Mike's family. Does that make sense? This is all sinking in. Similarly, I cannot go tell my kids, go rob and pillage David's house full of all of his possessions. They do not obey that unjust edict from me. They are obeying God. I might have the title as head of my household, but they are to obey God over my edicts. Does that make sense? Church, let's talk about church authority a little bit in this context. It would be unjust and outside of the church's jurisdiction if Foothills went to El Cajon City Council and said, you're going to pass a tax, that's 10%, you're going to call it the tithe, and you're going to tax every person and business 10%, and all that money comes to us. That'd be outside of the church's jurisdiction, right? And state government, I don't think I have to come up with a ton of examples. I think that's pretty self-evident. It is outrageous how much power and influence the state has asserted over these three areas. This is the filter that we want to take into the public square and bring those examples to the believer and non-believer, break it down to these spheres of authority. Listen, if I don't have the right to tell you that, then why does the government have the right to force you to do that? Let's define this. Oh, before I get into that, defining government's authority. Jesus said, render to Caesar what is Caesar's, render to God what is God. We already defined what belongs to God. Everything. So it stands to reason, we need to define what is Caesar's. What belongs to Caesar? Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. That's what it is. It defines what the federal government's role is. And if they're operating outside of that, then it is growing. That is an unjust edict. That is an unrighteous edict. This is our form of government in the United States, founded by Christians. We need to bring this sphere authority and define our terms and say, what is the jurisdiction of the government? What is the jurisdiction of the self? So where does the government get its power from? The people. Exactly, the people. Thomas Jefferson said, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers, their justified powers, from the consent of the governed. Meaning the government gets its power from the people. And if the government gets its power from the people, so let's remove all governmental structures, okay? We're just nomads living. I'm using the natural law analogy for the unbeliever. We're just nomads living, and there's neighbors. We're in a tribe, whatever. If I delegate my authority to vote on trade deals, you can do the next slide, to Daryl Issa, does that give Daryl Issa any more authority to rule over his neighbor? No. It does not. He does not gain an authority. He does not gain in status to rule over his neighbor or control his neighbor outside of his just authority of the self. Because we get power from the government, gets power from the people. This is representative government, and those government's powers are limited. So it stands to reason. When I delegate power to Daryl Issa, our 50th, our congressman in the 50th district, his power does not grow to control our neighbor. That's natural law. That's representative government. Another analogy I want to use real quick. I spoke to a group of Boy Scouts. I didn't start my timer. That's a bummer. I spoke to a group of Boy Scouts in El Cajon, Troop 951, and I said, okay, do you need a law to say that let's say Jimmy has a PS5 and he loves it. Do you need a law to know that if John were to steal Jimmy's PS5, it'd be wrong? And they say no. I'm like, well, what if Jimmy got hit? What if Jimmy got Taylor and so and so to say, you know what? We all want that. We're going to take it from you. Do you need a policeman or a law to tell you that it's wrong? They go no. I'm like, well, what if your whole Boy Scout troop voted and said, listen, Jimmy, it's better for everyone that we have this. Does that, they go, yeah, that's awesome. I'm like, oh gosh, I'm creating a bunch of socialists. I said, it might sound cool, which is what Bernie Sanders people think, but is it right? Is it right? Do you need a police officer or a law to tell you that? And they said, no. And I said, then you understand natural law. You understand God-given rights. Just because the mob votes to take something doesn't make it just, doesn't make it right. When the government steps in and asserts its authority, is in a defensive stance to defend people's life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Does that make sense? That's the only time that government should step in, is to defend people's natural rights. We call it God-given rights. Anytime a law jumps out ahead and is progressive or offensive, can you go back to the slide? Anytime a law tries to take something, that's when the state grows. That's when it grows. If it's offensive, if we seek to take Jimmy's PS5, because the mob voted to take it. And if anyone knows where private property rights, where that came from, it's the Eighth Commandment. Thou shalt not steal. The Eighth Commandment guarantees private property rights. Thou shalt not steal. Does that make sense, guys? Thou shalt not it assumes that something is yours and that it cannot be taken from you. Where am I at? 11 o'clock. So another analogy. So the government should always operate in a defensive stance. That's another filter. Never offensively, always defensively, to defend life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. What is that? That's private property. That's the freedom of speech, religion, your ability to move freely as a person. If the government is seeking to get out ahead of something, there's always going to be unintended consequences. Another analogy. Let's just say I like swinging my fist. I'm swinging my fist down the road. I'm swinging my fist in the park. Well, my right to swing my fist ends at your nose. At that point, I'm impeding on your right to life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. So Mark defined, he went into Romans 13. We're going to go into Romans 13 a little bit too, right now. I don't know what my next slide is. Can you go past? I think I might want to, no, go back to the sphere one. So Romans 13 defines the government, and Mark defined it as the sword. The government is a sword of authority, and the government has a monopoly on force. And he defined the magistrate, or a congressman, or you could call it a senator or a city councilman, as a minister of God. So they are under the same authority as a pastor is, being a minister of the word, as a father is. They're held under the same authority to stay within their jurisdiction, within their realm, just as I'm required to stay in my jurisdiction as the head of my household. If a pastor is preaching unsound doctrine and saying you need to go pillage and go to Congress and levy to take everyone's possessions, that's unsound doctrine. They might have the title, but that is an unsound edict because it's not within Scripture. Similarly, is the same thing with the government. Romans 13 doesn't give the government carte blanche to do whatever it wants, and then we have to submit to it. There are plenty of examples in the Bible of Christians, Jews, and even in our history, define unjust government edicts. There are plenty, and it is righteous. And we're going to go over those in a little bit. The government's job is to suppress evil. The government has a monopoly on force. Let me get my notes here. God doesn't have a different ethic for the pastor with regard to staying within their jurisdiction. He doesn't have a different ethic for the politician. He has the same ethic. You must stay within your jurisdiction, within your sphere of authority. And if you don't, you are operating outside of God's designed government, these four governments that he created. We can go to the next one. So, all law is force. When the rich young ruler went to, just government should operate in a defensive stance, and that's within the nature of Christ. Christ didn't go to the Roman government to expand his father's kingdom. The rich young ruler, he said, I've followed all your commands. Now what do I do? Did Jesus say, go to the Roman government and lobby the senators to pass a tax to take 70% of your possessions and then come follow me? He didn't say that. He said, no, you, the individual, move by compassion, right? How Jesus was face to face, Moses and God. You, the individual, go and sell all your possessions and feed the hungry and clothe the naked. We need to reflect that defensive nature of Christ and not grow government. Anytime we grow government, that is progressive law. That is law on the offensive. It initiates violence. People will push back if we are trying to control our neighbor through government. Does that make sense? This is the defense that we need to bring into the public square to the unbeliever. If you try to control me, there will be pushback. And there's going to be riots in the streets. And there's going to be more Capitol buildings being stormed. And there's going to be vitriol. And there's going to be people shouting at each other. And we need to be the peacemakers. We can go to the next one. All law is force. This is from riots in the summer of 2020. This is the civil rights rallies in the 60s. And they have a monopoly on force. And we do not change our neighbor, or our neighbor's hearts are not changed by the law, by changing a law or putting in a new law. You say that to the unbeliever and the believer, they believe that. And we as Christians know that. The Jews had a perfect law. The Ten Commandments, did that change their hearts? No. So why do we think that we can change a law and it'll change someone's heart or renew their heart? That's left for the Holy Spirit. That's left for us as the church power to grow. And we violate these principles, these ideas of trying to control our neighbor through force. There's always unintended consequences. People will ultimately resist and lash out. And Jordan Peterson, I wouldn't call him a Christian, but he has very insightful commentary about the idea of collectivism, which is socialism, communism, which is in direct opposition to God-given rights, individual rights, natural law. He says some of the most heinous atrocities, not only with regard to grotesque, but not only grotesque, but in volume, were carried out by governments. Some of those in the 20th century, they're instituted and carried out by unjust governments. So we should never want to grow government, even if it temporarily benefits our side, because it will open up the door to unrighteous rulers to sit in that seat of authority and power, and they will wield it unrighteously. So even if you did, this is me speaking to the unbeliever, even if you did find that perfect person that could manage the entire country and pull all the perfect levers and strings for the economy and know everything, and they are perfectly, see how they're trying to look for a savior? This collectivist mentality. Even if you could find that perfect person to lead the country or the world or whoever it is, there are 100 evil men lurking in the shadows waiting to stab you in the back and seize that power. And that will always be true. You can go to the next slide. This is by Ezra Taft Benson. He was the Secretary of State under Dwight D. Eisenhower. And this is the warning that we need to give to not only ourselves, but the unbeliever as well. We should recognize that government is no plaything. It is an instrument of force. And unless our conscience is clear that we would not hesitate to put a man to death, to put him in jail, or forcibly deprive him of his property for failing to obey a given law, then we should oppose that law. The government is no plaything. We saw how strong the government is, how it can shut people down during COVID, and it resulted in people's destitute. So unless our conscience is clear that we're okay with putting a man to death or taxing him into poverty, permanent poverty, then we should oppose that law. And guys, how many of you know that the government is an idol in this country? It is 100% an idol. And we need the American people to divorce this idol. And we need to establish the church and the family and the self-government again in this country. We need to make that warning to the public and say, listen, you keep your money, you raise your family the way you want to, I'll raise the family. I'm not going to try and push, don't push your beliefs on me, and there will be peace. That's how you go into the public square and create peace. There will always be conflict when you try to control your neighbor. And come to that, like I said, this is a 30,000 foot view, so not everything's going to fit neatly, and there's context and there's ideas and situations that need to be fleshed out. I'm going to the 30,000 foot view, but you want to come to the negotiating table as a community as infrequently as possible. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to try and get through everything. 10:15. What do I got? 11:15, Mike? I got 30 minutes. Okay. I'm going to go for it. So you can go to the next slide, please. I don't know if this is a term, but it seems like it needs to be a term. A consensual economic agreement. Consent meaning two sober-minded adults, right? Consenting to an economic agreement. Two people or parties mutually agreeing on an exchange of goods or services. There is no coercion or threat of force or force. Consensual economic agreement. So here's an analogy to explain natural law. So let's say you got David the chicken farmer. He needs a fence built because his chickens keep getting out. And Mike the fence builder lives in his tribe or his neighborhood or on a street or whatever. And so David goes to Mike and says, listen, I need a fence built. I can give you 3 chickens for it. And then Mike goes, I can't really do that. But I'll tell you what, I'll do it for 4 chickens and you pay for the nails. David goes, okay, that seems fair. So Mike gets started, and then all the neighbors vote and come up and say, whoa, 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 whoa. David, the chicken farmer, is exploiting his employee, Mike, the fence maker, and that's not a fair wage. That's not fair. You have to pay, David, you have to pay Mike 15 chickens, and when he turns 62, you have to pay him 6 eggs every month until he dies, and you have to ensure working conditions too because it's hot out here, so you have to have running water, so you have to dig a well, and then you have to build a shade structure for Mike because if not, then you're exploiting him, but you can't, what else do you want, unions? Okay, so if you have to build the shade structure and then take the shade structure down when he's done with that section of fence, and is there anything else you want? No? Okay. And because it's unjust. You see where that's going, guys? What right does the neighbor or a group of neighbors have to assert their authority over David, the employer, and Mike, the employee? They have none. And the non-believer will agree with that if they're being honest. You know, there's leftists, which trying to convince them, I've had 2 Zoom calls with them in the last month, and trying to convince them trying to reason with them to some degree is like trying to convince me to not believe in Jesus. This is their religion. But there's these moderates that will believe in this, and they cannot refute it. And this is how we engage them. This is how we engage and how we convey our worldview of limited government, and you have no authority to say this or that. We see that chicken farmer analogy in AB 5 here in California. I had one of my employees move out of state because their husband was a writer. He was part of this congregation. He said, I can't make a living here. I've had journalists and photographers, and I actually hired people as 1099 private contractors, but you can't do that anymore. The state revoked it, and that's the state growing. That is the state growing. There's unintended consequences of that. We need to convey that there's a difference between legal and just and righteous. Does that make sense? Everything that Hitler did in Nazi Germany was legal. It was legal to kick black people out of a restaurant, and discriminate against them. It was legal. Just because it's legal doesn't mean it's right. And I think when we go into the public square, we miss another opportunity, changing gears a little bit. You can go to the next slide. to differentiate between the government doing something and the public doing something. We don't make that distinction, and we need to. Frederick Bastiat was a philosopher in the 1800s in France. And he summed this up perfectly. Socialism, like the ancient ideas from which it springs, meaning he thinks it's an old, dusty idea, and he lived in the 1800s. Socialism confuses the distinction between government and society. As a result of this, every time we object to a thing being done by government, the socialists conclude that we object to it being done at all. We disapprove of state education, then the socialists think that we are opposed to any education. We object to state religion, then the socialists say that we want no religion at all. We object to state-enforced equality, then they say that we are against equality, and so on and so on. It is as if the socialists were to accuse us of not wanting people to eat because we do not want the state to raise grain. And that's from his book, The Law. I would encourage everyone to read it. It's a short read, which is my kind of read. Yeah, there's some other people like me in here. But we need to make that distinction. And I tell them, listen, I supported Trump's Right to Try Act in 2017. You guys remember that one? Where he wanted to allow people in end-of-life care to try experimental treatments or medicine that was not FDA approved. Listen, what right do I have to insert myself in the decision between yourself, self-government? What right do I have, atheist, non-believer, do I have to insert myself to say, no, you can't do that? That's between the patient and the doctor and whoever the patient wants to bring in, the family. I have no right to do that. Similarly, if people want to take the COVID vaccine, that's great. Wonderful. But I just don't want the government forcing it. And we need to make that distinction. Just because, so I was at a ribbon cutting ceremony for a tiny home village in El Cajon. We just approved a little, four little tiny homes for homeless moms, homeless single moms. And I was speaking to someone from the nonprofit that was going to run it. And they said, man, we're so excited and we're so relieved that El Cajon approved this. We've been going around to all these cities and they've been saying no, 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 no. And it was kind of like a long shot. And I was like, well, why do you think it's a long shot? He says, well, you know, everyone knows that Republicans, that El Cajon's conservative and it's ran by Republicans. So we didn't think you guys would approve it. I said, why would you think that? He goes, well, because, conservatives and Republicans hate the poor and homeless. And I kind of looked at him and I was like, what gives you that impression? And he said, because every time you guys try, or every time we try and pass something, you guys oppose it. And I go, listen, I was like, this is a perfect example. Just because I oppose the government doing something doesn't mean I'm against that thing. This is the way the other side thinks of us. And we need to offer a defense and say, Christians are some of the most charitable people in the United States. We just don't force our neighbor to be charitable. It's no longer charity when you have to force someone to do it. With someone else's money. And so that distinction has to be real. And when I told him that, he went, oh, yeah, I never thought of that. But it's our own fault for not being able to convey and enter into the public square a concise, thought-out defense for our worldview, our faith, our way of our thought process. So peaceful noncompliance. Go to the next slide. I put these slides. Yeah, peaceful noncompliance. Defying the government. What does that look like? All right, let's look at some examples. And Mark gave examples. Always in a defensive stance when you're going to be in peaceful noncompliance. The founders, they made a defensive stance in America. They didn't go and try and take over England. Martin Luther King Jr. was always a defensive stance, peaceful. The Israelites in Egypt, this is the example that Mark gave about a month ago. I would encourage you guys to listen to that message. Go back to it. Refused to kill children that lied. Refused to kill their children, the Jewish midwives, and lied to Pharaoh's face. You can see here that there's a baby being born, and she's peeking, making sure that no one's coming. Miriam hid Moses against Pharaoh's edict. David honored Saul when he was king, but he defied him and hid from him. He subverted him. He actively worked against the government finding him. Peter was in prison. The angel opened the door, and he walked out knowing he would be a fugitive. Where am I? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm not going to bow down. A defensive stance. You have no authority over my self-government. You are outside of your jurisdiction, government. I obey a higher authority and not the government. You can go to the next one. This is Corrie ten Boom. She was part of the Dutch resistance against the Nazis. There's a book written about her, and I just read the abridged version of it, and it is incredible how she survived. But this is her, where she hid people. Her whole family was put to death. One family member survived. She was actually removed from one of the internment camps by mistake. The next day, everyone in that camp went to extermination camp. Extermination camp. I heard Dennis Prager speak at a launch for an app for conservatives about a month ago, and I did not know this about the Jewish people, but the people that went through the Holocaust, their kids, and then one more generation, whenever they meet someone, the first thing, the question going through their mind is, would this person hide me? What an incredible filter. Would this person obey God, or would this person obey the government? What an incredible filter that these people who saw atrocities by government, what a great filter for us as well. Where am I? You can go to the next one. Fugitive slave law, the Underground Railroad, that is righteously defying the government. Sneaking slaves to the North, you being held liable for doing that, for helping in any way. I believe this is justified. This is absolutely justified. To Bonhoeffer in Germany, you guys know Dietrich Bonhoeffer, incredible man, went so far as to do the Heil Hitler salute in public so he could continue subverting the government. You guys got to read his biography by Metaxas, Eric Metaxas. Incredible book. Rosa Parks, part of a national hero for her ability to discern unjust government edicts. There's a quote that I heard at a conference, and I'm not going to say where it was because I don't want you guys to listen to it. But it was by a guy named Killer Mike, and it was during the riots. It was people arguing at this conference and yelling at each other, and he kind of steps into the conference. He goes, stop, listen, hold up. I'm going to tell you what you see happening here. What you are witnessing are free people arguing over who has the better master. You see two sides fighting over to try and control each other. We need to recognize that we're free people. What do you say? 11:45, Mike? Okay. I want to just really quickly define the 10th Amendment, states' rights, and the experiment that the founders set up, and how amazingly wise they were in allowing different states to have their own laws so that they can be different experiments in what is good laws and where are people moving to and what are bad laws and where, and those people are moving out of those states. We're seeing that right now in the country with these draconian COVID lockdown mandates. We're seeing that right now. We're seeing people move out of California. We're seeing people move to Florida. We're seeing governors sue the federal government because they're outside of their jurisdiction, requiring employers. It's a mandate. So thank God for the 10th Amendment. Thank God for the 10th Amendment that we can still have citizenship in this country, but we get to see real time the results of these unjust laws and where people seeking more freedom will go. So I'm going to transition to an activity that I stole from one of my college presentations. It's called Agree, Disagree, Unsure. So in a second, I'm going to have everybody stand up. Everyone's going to participate. And I'm going to read a statement. And if you agree with a statement, you're going to stand on this side of the room. If you disagree with the statement, you're going to stand on this side of the room. And if you're unsure, you're going to stay in the middle. Okay? We're going to get outside of our comfort zone. Just like Mark says, we never find God in our comfort zone. And we're called to be doers, right? We're called to get up and engage and not be passive and not sit on the sidelines. We're going to enter into the public square. And it's okay. And when we think about these, think about jurisdiction, authority, the four governments. Which authority does this fall under? But we're going to slap the apple out of Eve's hand. We're not going to have our wives eat the apple. We're going to slap it out of their hand, right? We're going to engage. I'm taking authority over this room right now. I'm asserting my authority, and everyone's going to participate. And then if you have a reason, then state your reason. Raise your hand. Engage a little bit. Let's have a conversation going. It's okay if you're not sure. Tell me the duality that's occurring. State the duality that's occurring in you and flesh it out. So everybody stand up. And the first statement is the government is operating within its jurisdiction or authority when they issue mask or vaccine mandates. Agree, disagree, unsure. And don't follow the crowd. Disagree, agree, unsure. Yeah. Unsure. Okay, yeah. So anyone want to take a stab at why they disagree that the government is outside of its jurisdiction? Anyone want to take a stab at it? Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
You know, at the same time, I don't believe the government has the right to mandate something that's not proven, you know, beyond a shadow of doubt that it's going to control what you're saying it's going to control.
Okay. Yeah. Let me move on. We got some unsures here. Anyone? Oh, you got to agree?
Mark's over there. No side. I'm just being. I have a reason why.
He wants to. We got some unsures here. Yeah. Unsures.
So based on that, and this, I agree with you.
He wants to be on this side, but he was presented a question that he doesn't.
Presented a question, and let's say, for example, that you didn't want to take the headache medicine or what, you are, it's considered, let's just say it's contagious, we'll just use those two words, cancer and headache. What if you being contagious and not wanting to get cured, still wanting to have your free will inside public affect my free will of my pursuit of happiness? Because I presented, I said, what about pursuit of happiness and all this stuff that's got to be right? Well, you're actually taking that away from me by refusing something that I think would actually protect me.
So let me jump in here, and that's what I hear a lot.
I didn't know how to answer.
We need to make distinctions, okay? Yes, this is contagious. How deadly is this? Okay? We need to make distinctions. Is this person who refuses to take the vaccine, is he running around Home Depot pulling off people's masks and coughing in their face? Or is he just walking down the street and grabbing a couple things and then leaving? We need to make those distinctions. Is there a physical threat? Is there an immediate physical threat? Or is he, or is someone like playing belly button defense on him and making sure they got all the air covered? Is there an immediate physical threat to your life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness? I would argue that no, there is not. There 100% is not. And can you carry a viral load with the vaccine? That's proven. So I don't want to get into the weeds, but let's go back to self-government. What authority does one person have over the other person if there's not a direct threat to their life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness? None. None. We got a couple more. We got more of these. Next statement. Businesses are operating in their jurisdiction, in just authority, when they issue mask or vaccine mandates for their employees. Agree, disagree, unsure. All right. We have some defectors. Think about it. Don't do what the crowd is doing. Really think about it. You can move to unsure as well. Businesses are operating in their jurisdiction when they issue mask or vaccine mandates for their employees. Agree, disagree, unsure. Correct. The government is not mandating it. The government is not forcing businesses to do this. Thank you, Tim. That was a very good distinction. He figured it out. Okay, we're split. This is agree, disagree, unsure. Think about sphere authority. Yeah.
This is not new hires. This is current hires. We can fire you for anything.
There's a difference between mask and vaccine and the business side. The vaccine could cause me not to be able to do my job. Therefore, they're causing me to lose. If I'm an airline pilot.
Okay, hold on. Let's go back to the sphere authority and the consensual economic agreement. Two sober-minded adults agreeing to do a job. If David the chicken farmer says, listen, Mike, if you're going to work for me, you gotta take this. Is Mike under any obligation to take that job or continue working there? What is the government supposed to do? It's supposed to defend private property. Is my business my own private property? It is, right? That is my property. I can run my business into the ground and come up with the dumbest things for my employees if I want to. What right do I have to go into another person's business and say, you have to run it this way? You have to give masks, or you're not allowed to require masks. What right do I have as an individual, as a person? We're talking natural law here. What right do I have? None. We don't have a right in natural law. We have to think about sphere authority. If we try and assert our idea into another person's realm, what are we doing? We're growing government. Even if it benefits us temporarily, it's growing government, the power of government. I'm going to go to the next one. Public schools are operating in their jurisdiction when they teach critical race theory. Agree, disagree, unsure. This one's nuanced. It's going to require a lot of thinking. Does everyone know what critical race theory basically just says that?
Racism is
you're racist. Yeah. It is a trick question. It's a trick question. It's a trick question. Anyone want to take a stab at it? Okay, David. Yeah. Yeah. Why should there be public schools? But where in the Constitution does it say, where in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution does it say that the government should be funding and operating schools? It doesn't. And so here's what's happening, guys. Here's what's happening. Everyone has a financial interest in schools, in public schools, because we pay for it through our taxes. And so it's this huge slush fund, and of course, everyone has a financial interest. Everyone wants to say what's happening, what's being taught. You keep your money, and you teach your children what you want. You keep your money and teach your children what you want. Get rid of public schools. I don't want to pay for this indoctrination of kids. I don't want to pay for this. I got to pay for it, which is going to force my wife to get a part-time job, which means I got to get a babysitter or put them into public school, and then they're going to get taught it, indoctrinated, which is removing the family government. When we're paying for public schools, that's shrinking the family government. That's shrinking our authority and influence and power over our families. So why is there public schools? They shouldn't even exist. Next slide. Private schools are operating in their jurisdiction when they teach critical race theory. Agree, disagree, unsure. Private schools are operating in their jurisdiction. Okay. Who wants to take a stab at it? Okay. Right.
You have the choice as a free, person to say, I don't want my kid there anymore. I'm not going to give you my money.
Yep.
Yep. So we have to understand, what we're giving them jurisdiction.
Nail on the head. Yeah. Anyone? You opt in. You have the freedom to go there. What right do I have to say to a family who hires a tutor to say, hey, whoa, what are you teaching? And then I bring the government in through threat of force to deprive them of jail or to death? Guys, we're not going to. Even if freedom's a two-way street, I don't like it. Oh, good Lord. I will oppose it at every position. But all we're going to do is create conflict, initiate violence. Anyone over here want to take a stab at it? Yes. The government can give, guidance with regard to options for standards. You should have to learn your times tables by third grade. They can give guidance, not mandates. That's what the CDC was originally. They said that we're going to give guidance to doctors. We're going to be this benign government agency. That's how it started. To support doctors in saying, here's some treatments, here's some this. You guys, between the patient and doctor relationship, that should be upheld, but you got, here's some options, here's some ideas. Yeah. Yeah.
So that is deciding curriculum. It is deciding what we're going to teach, how we're going to teach it. We do have work standards, labor boards that do inform private policy. So if we just say, hey, look, that's a public business, a public economic agreement between two people, we should just step away from it, then it seems like it gives them all the influence to influence the already largesse state into doing whatever they want.
Yeah, you're talking about how do you dismantle something so big and how do you engage?
Yeah, how do we start from here, where we're at? We could say, this is where we wish we were. We should have
Yeah.
But we're in a different spot than that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would say you need to offer a defense for our worldview in presenting these ideas first. And with that in mind, we need to present this natural law, God-given rights, what we call it, in the public square and insert that into it when we talk about why we oppose this for this reason. And I think that's missing. I think that's missing.
God forbid you're one of the 90% of people who has their kids in public school.
Get him out. You've been preaching that for a long time. I completely agree.
But 90% of our kids are in public school.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So I feel like we should be fighting there, too. We should be saying, hey, look, we don't want these kind of people in public school on the school board. We don't want...
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. We should offer a defense, 100%. But what's missing from where we're coming from is why. Why do we want this? Yes.
So we don't want to force the result we want through more government growth.
Right.
So we think about like creating standards. We don't want to create the standard and then we vote the people in and all of a sudden they just use that same tool against us later with a different standard.
Exactly.
So we want to pull back what we give them jurisdiction of.
Correct.
It's both and,
yeah. I'm going to go to Weston and then, did you want to say something real quick? And then I got one more of these because we're running out of time. Great. Yes. Great distinction. If it's a Christian school. Right. They're outside of their jurisdiction if it's a church and that pastor has authority to preach sound doctrine, then that pastor is outside of its jurisdiction preaching Nazism.
Yeah,
right. Or socialism, which is equally bad. Yeah.
That school was underlined, and so there would have to be a distinction there as to where, as a family, we felt like we had say or
right.
jurisdiction on what that particular school.
But if you're paying directly into it, writing a check every month, then it's a voluntary economic exchange. So you, whether it's Christian or not, natural law, correct. They have to follow the Bible. But whether it's Christian or not, if I'm writing a check every month,
for tuition.
Then I have say so.
Right. And while they're still not in their jurisdiction, it doesn't talk about my option.
Right. You know. I want to move on because we honestly these are discussions. I'm glad people are engaging because this is exactly what I wanted. The last one. Governments are operating outside of their jurisdiction or authority when they ban abortions. Agree, disagree.
Disagree.
Governments are operating outside of their jurisdiction when they ban abortions.
This is like a double negative weird.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to trip you up. I'm not making it easy. The reason for that is define your terms. Define your terms. The government is outside of its role when it bans abortions. Agree, disagree, unsure. Yes. Yeah, read it again. No. The government is in the wrong when they ban abortions. Think about, define your terms, guys. Yeah, these guys were like, I'm finding a different church. Hey, this should be really easy. I got to wrap it up. You guys, I got to wrap it up with this. But the government's role is to defend life. If it's not your DNA, it's not your choice. I don't care where the baby is. If it's in your belly, if it's in your crib, if it's in your butt, I don't care. I don't give a rip where it is. You don't have a chance. You don't have the opportunity or the authority to kill it. Hey, guys. So a couple books that I would encourage people to read. Like I said, The Law by Bastiat. If you guys are taking notes, you guys can go ahead and take a seat. We're all done with this. The Tuttle Twins. The Tuttle Twins is a series of books for kids that explain natural law, natural rights, Tuttle, T-U-T-T-L-E, Tuttle Twins, and the law. If any home pastor or above leadership is interested in diving into this a little bit deeper, come see me. I've gotten permission from Brian Jones, our state senator, who's part of this group of elected officials that we talk and discuss things like this once a month, reading books and thinking and discussing and really thinking about law, theology, and economics, and how they are all intertwined, and how God has authority over all of them, and when they are working together righteously, there's peace, and there's justice. And they are all, we even said, God said, the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. That's economics. God has something to say about all of this. So if anyone's interested, come see me. If anyone's interested in how to get more involved politically, we are bombarded on the local level. It's not just coming from the state, it's coming from the county, and there's real actionable items that you guys can do, that you can make a stand, and your voice goes very far. So email, text, call me, or just go on Facebook, message me if you want. Grab my phone number. It's 619-808-3683. 619-808-3683. Please don't post it on Facebook. Hey, if anyone wants to talk to Phil. We need to divorce this idol of government in our country. We need to begin a divorce of the government and grow our self-government, our family government, and our church government. And we need to study and offer defense to it. So thank you very much, guys.
Yeah.